everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, our new producer engineer of the Buckmaster Show, as we embark on week 3 of our new ownership with Bustos Media, and a lot of exciting things going on at the station. Building the new studios, they've got the glass in, carpeting will be next, so hopefully in a couple of weeks we'll be in our new studios. That's exciting. It is the Buckmaster Show for this Thanksgiving Monday. We begin the Thanksgiving week. It's the 19th of November 2018. It is the earliest that Thanksgiving week can possibly happen. It happens every not every couple of years. The last time it happened this early was 2012. It's an early Thanksgiving, which I guess is really good for the merchants because they'll have some extra days in their Black Friday and then more. You're listening to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts and our complete show archive available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The live line number 790-2040. Anytime during the hour you want to give us a call, that's great. We begin each Monday, as we have since our first Monday back in January of 2011, with this program, with the Monday Political Face-Off. Our team of commentators, Bruce Ash, seated to my right, now in his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. When is the term up? In 2020, is it?
Correct.
Okay. Dr. Don Jorgensen is here, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, back from China without any jet lag. That's really cool.
I was lucky.
That's a long trip.
It was. Went well. Great trip. Fascinating visit.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday. How about you, gentlemen? Bruce?
Thanksgiving and Passover.
Okay. And how about you, Don?
Well, we love it because we always have a large table with family and friends, and we bring it all together. Of course, this being the earliest Thanksgiving, as you mentioned, yes, my wife was freaking out, and I was no help. I was laughing, saying, I don't understand how you're freaking out when we have the same menu for 35 years in a row. But that wasn't helpful, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, nice going, Don. That did a lot for marital health, yeah.
Do you have any plans for Mo? Any framing needs, Bruce?
Well, I might. The Mountain Oyster Club art show was last weekend, and bought several pieces there. And artists sometimes don't do themselves any favor with their framing choices. They usually try to get the cheapest frame they can possibly find that fits, or something that they used before. And anyway, so Mo, expect to see me. I can't actually pick the art up until I think January 10th or 12th, but I'll surely see you. But some of the art that I did acquire was very well done, very beautiful. And they had, of course, I was on the art committee, so I'm a little prejudiced. Mm-hmm. We juried 1,500 pieces and ended up selecting 350.
Wow.
And we were very, very fortunate. The artists who participated in this year's show were unbelievable, and we record sale as a result of that.
Great
pieces.
Well, they're going to need some frames, some of those pieces. Don Jorgensen, were you happy with the results overall when it's all said and done from election 2018? Would you say we're a purple state now?
Without question, we're a purple state now. We, for the first time in, I think as long as I've been in Arizona, we are sending a majority of Democrats to Washington. When you combine the Senate and the House representatives we have now. And for the first time in a long time, we picked up three new statewide races with Katie Hobbs as Secretary of State, Kathy Hoffman at Superintendent of Public Instruction, and Sandra Kennedy at the Corporation Commission, and picked up four legislative seats in the House. So it was part of that blue wave that swept the nation.
Bruce, I was listening to your program your program, give you a little plug here. 1 o'clock, Saturday afternoon.
Inside Track with Bruce Ash.
There you go, Inside Track with Bruce Ash, listening to the program. You were not kind in any way to our Senator-elect Sinema.
Is there an obligation for me to be kind to her?
No, but what about giving her a chance?
Well, what about giving her a chance?
Well,
I'm under no obligation to do so.
No.
And frankly, she has broken a campaign promise that she would not vote for Chuck Schumer. She promised the voters that, and she hasn't even been sworn into office, and she's already broken that vow. So what comes next?
Mm. Well, the name calling, you were giving her some nicknames and...
I think I was pretty nice. I called her Senator Barbie doll, which, I mean, she does sort of look like Barbie, for crying out loud. Mm. We'll see how that goes.
Did you think there was funny business in this election at all, Bruce? Or there's really been no evidence of any kind of vote tampering in Arizona, has there?
Well, there's lots of different ways to cook the books. Pima County probably was closer to the thing running legitimately. In Maricopa County, though, it was a different story. The Maricopa County Board of Supervisors gave specific instructions to Recorder Fontes not to open up a number of emergency voting sites, and he did anyway. And some of them, were set up in such a fashion as to get the greatest amount of Democrat participation. And these emergency voting centers are very, very different than the polling places that you and I show up for, because they don't require IDs and they don't require proof of residency. There's lots of problems with that. And there may be repercussions that happen as a result of this. Mr. Fontes has also refused to submit to FOIA requests, which are required under law. And if he's doing everything on the up and up, why is he refusing to get that information?
Don, what do you think? Do you think it was a clean election?
Of course. This is another example, and we've seen it nationwide, of Republicans being sore losers, doing everything they can to suppress votes, to not count votes, and all of that. Just talking about these emergency voting centers up in Maricopa County, two of the five were in Scottsdale and Mesa, hardly bastions of Democratic strongholds. So that's just nonsense. Even Martha McSally, uncharacteristic for a Republican, gave a graceful concession speech. What's more concerned is what's happening in other states around the country. Let's look at, and coming back to Arizona, I notice the Republicans aren't complaining about Ducey's reelection. And the other Republicans that won. So it's pretty nonsensical.
The Attorney General and State Treasurer.
Right, right. Several of the races all the way up and down. But then you look at a state like Georgia, where there are numerous questions with regard to voter suppression and the acts of the former Secretary of State, who's now the Governor-elect Kemp, where they purged 1.5 million voters from the rolls. They held up 53,000 registrations just this year. They closed 214 polling places, all of these primarily affecting African Americans and minorities in the state. And you had stories that were just unbelievable, except they were true, of young people who went to vote who had been registered. There's one woman named India Owens, 22-year-old African American woman, lived in not even in Atlanta, in one of the other cities. She was registered to vote. She voted in the 2016 election. She goes back to vote. She hadn't moved. She hadn't changed her address. She was no longer on the rolls. Mm. You know, and that's one of numerous stories that happened there. So if the Republicans are serious, they should join with Democrats at investigating all of these practices in all of the states, whether they won or lost.
Bruce, would you concede that we are a purple state?
I think right now it's safe to say that we're moving in that direction. The Democrats had to spend an awful lot of money to do so. There is a changing demographic here in Arizona. there's more people from California, more people from other places around the country who bring some of their same voting patterns with them, which I think is sort of remarkable because they left California due to high taxes and chaotic government. Same thing, folks from Illinois and from other parts of the country where they didn't have it so good. But that's where we're at now. Look, there are people who call the 2016 election a moment, not a movement. There are plenty of Democrats who having had a good election, and congratulations to them, are seizing this opportunity to call this a movement and something that is going to repeat itself in 2020. All right. I don't know if it will or won't, but we're all going to be working very hard for the next 2 years to try to turn those results around.
And Don, we'll pick up on that thought with you after we take the break. This is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Additional support comes from my favorite baker in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, and I had a Danish kringle this morning, an almond kringle up at Steve's wonderful bakery, Mona's, named after his lovely daughter. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. This is the busy week up at Mona's. We were also up there yesterday at Mona's. People just one after another coming in for their orders, for the pies and all of the breads.
Definitely.
You need to get up there. And by the way, have a Kringle when you're there. And Don, I know you know the Kringles.
Oh, I think I'm going to head there for
Chris
lunch Kringle. After this, actually.
No, I mean, the almond Kringle was just, it was unbelievably good. And this is the time, give Steve and the team a call, 579-1959, or monasdanishbakery.com. And we've had a caller who's been holding that wanted to mention something about Mona's. Let's go to Russ real quickly. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Bill. I'm just so excited about this. I went to a dinner party Saturday, and I went and I bought a cake. I made a mistake. I bought a cake at one of the large supermarket chains, and it was a fortune, and I brought it home and get it ready to package. And you needed a chemistry degree to read the ingredients. 76 ingredients.
Oh,
and it wasn't real whipped cream. It was whipped oils like Ready Whip. And just unbelievable. I refused to take that. So I went up to Mona's, and for the same price, I got the most beautiful natural cake. So I'm from now on, I'm going to go there because I want natural things in my body. I don't want chemicals and fake creams and, oh my, it was disgusting. Actually disgusting that they sell that.
Did you actually count the ingredients? And you said there were 76 different ingredients.
Polysorbate this, diglyceride this, and then everything was oils, this oil, palmitate. Hmm. There were 76 ingredients in a cake that was supposed to be, whipped cream.
All right.
Sorry to keep going.
That's
on.
Fine,
anyhow.
But get yourself up there to Mona's. They'll take care of you. Thank you. All right, we'll take our break right here. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friend Mo and his family, Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. Don Jorgensen with me and Bruce Ash. The New York Times, Don, had a big article about that Arizona Senate race. I'm going to quickly go through what they call the six key takeaways, and one of them, Bruce, just talked about shifting demographics.
Right.
They also talked about a political realignment is possible. House votes matter. They're talking about some of the McSally votes. Campaigns matter. Mr. Trump in the Sun Belt didn't play that well. And the down ballot impact, which translated in some of the cabinet positions now going Democrat, state school superintendent. What am I forgetting here? We've got
Corporation Commission
and
Secretary of State,
which is a hugely important office in Arizona because it's the de facto lieutenant governor.
Right, and as we know in this state, you have almost a 50-50 chance of becoming governor for one reason or
another. Seems like
that.
So, how will this translate into 2020? You think this gives the Democrats a good start toward 2020?
It gives the Democrats a good blueprint for 2020. I'll put it that way because Kyrsten Sinema ran a very disciplined, very focused campaign from the beginning. And she did some things that Democrats traditionally haven't done that well. One is she defined herself early on with all of her ads and her focus, and didn't allow the Republicans to define her. You know, all the nonsense with the pink tutu and all that didn't fly because she'd already established her name, her credentials, her focus, her campaign. She also focused on issues that mattered to the voters, to Arizonans,
which
primarily
are
health care and some income issues, but primarily the health care focus, some on education, and certainly fairness and other issues. But she stayed focused on that, really, and veterans was the other key for her. And ran from her campaign a positive campaign. Now, there's always outside money coming in on both sides where you see all the attack ads. But she didn't do that primarily. She focused on defining herself, defining the issues, and staying on that. That appealed to voters. The Democrats did not need to bash Trump. He did that well enough himself. You know, if you have a clown on your lawn digging up things, there's no need to point out the clown on the lawn. There's a need to talk about what you're going to do to fix it. And that's what the Democrats did that won, and that's what she did. And so we saw different races around the country that where Democrats succeeded because they focused on the issues important to those voters. Some were very progressive. Some were more middle of the ground, middle road. But that's what worked.
Would you agree with Don, Bruce, that it is could be a nice blueprint for the Democrats in 2020?
We're talking about apples and oranges. The 20 race is a presidential race. We will have another Senate seat. The remaining term of the John McCain time.
Now filled with or by Senator Kyle.
Right.
Who's in that
situation. So looking pragmatically at the U.S. Senate election, this what happened is in part, it does have something to do with demographics, and there may be realignments going on at this time. But really what it was a refusal by mainly Republicans, almost six figures, to not vote for anybody. The undervote in this election was staggering. And I look at this going back to a very divisive Republican primary.
With McSally
and Kelly Ward.
Kelly Ward.
There was a lot of acrimony. Mm-hmm. And notwithstanding a lot of effort that was placed forth, Martha, and I think Don talked about this, but sort of from another standpoint, Martha really never looked into the voters' eyes and said, I'm not John McCain. And I'm certainly not Jeff Flake. And here's what I believe in. And here's who I am. I'm not just this fighter pilot. These are the things that I believe in, and these are the things I want to do for you and work with the state on. And I think looking back at the election, and when you consider the significant undervote that occurred, there was 12,000 undervotes just in Pima County. And this is a place where, you know, Martha had... and Don, legitimately, you may have some differences, but you know she pretty well served her constituents in CD2 on many, many issues. But a 12,000 vote undercount is significant, and it was far, far higher in Maricopa, and some degree of undervoting also occurred out in the rural areas where she did do very well, and all the Republican ticket did much better outside of Maricopa County.
So that's Republicans who just didn't vote.
It didn't vote for that particular race. You know, look, there was some undervoting for Mark Brnovich, particularly here in Pima County. I think some of it was actually generated from this station. Chris has an axe to grind with Mark Brnovich, and I don't disagree with him. The guy basically failed to materialize south of the Gila once he got elected.
I've said
4 years ago.
I've said a few things about that myself here. So but you're right. He was off the radar screen for 4 years.
Yeah, and you look at the governor's race. Mm-hmm. David Garcia ran about as far left as you could possibly run. And he wasn't elected, and he kind of was out of it probably by the first week or so in September. Doug Ducey just ran away with the election. Rodney Glassman also couldn't get across the mark because he couldn't get over the fact with the voters that he was once a Democrat, and then
an independent.
he was soundly defeated here in Pima County, and that was also a case, Don, where he had more money than anybody else. And the money that he had, which was pretty well spent, apparently didn't help him.
Here's where I think we're in agreement. What we're saying, because you're talking about the undervote, is those are candidates that lost their race. They failed to persuade the voters. Mm-hmm. McSally for different reasons. David Garcia for different reasons. Garcia was a great guy, great person, a veteran, but a one-note candidate.
Yeah, and really nice
that,
man.
That's not enough to win the governorship.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with McSally. She lost the trust of many of the voters in Pima County because of her shifting positions, moving from what she proclaimed herself to be a moderate to standing by Trump's
side. Her positions didn't change as much as her tie-in with President Trump. That was a big difference because she had stood up in the 2016 election. You know, I think kind of for moral or for social reasons. Okay, but she voted both before that election as well as after the election, pretty much in lockstep.
Exactly. Yeah, so we're agreeing on that. So in looking to 2020, the question is, the question you asked earlier, and it was a good question that Bruce asked, is this a moment or a movement? And for the Democrats to turn it into a movement, they have to learn these lessons and not get complacent, as you say Republicans may have, but really focus on this is the effort that went into 2018. The tremendous effort that Democrats made in reaching their voters and engaging their voters, it's what's required every time. And to sit back and think that more is not needed in 2020 will be the mistake. The other mistake will be, again, focusing on Trump and impeachment rather than what do citizens of the United States need and deserve that they have not been getting.
Look, I've said this 100 times, if not 1,000 times, to Republicans when we meet together. If we win an election, we won the battle. The war still goes on.
The war never ends.
The war never ends.
All right. On that note, we'll wrap it up. Don Jorgensen, thank you very much. Glad you're back safe and sound from China.
Thank you.
And
my pleasure.
Bruce Ash, we'll look for your program Saturday afternoon, Track from 1 to 2. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com proudly presents our Monday political face-off. Stop by and check it out as the holiday season approaches. I'm sure there's some things that you would like to have framed in the right way, and Mo can certainly take care of you. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. That's very appropriate bumper music for us, that song Beginnings by Chicago, because, you know, it is a new beginning here on KVOI. We are all local talk now on this radio station from 6 a.m. until 7 p.m., so it's all about localism. This portion of our program presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our Buckmaster Show listeners over there. It's only about a three-hour drive and so much to do in historic Silver City, including just north of Silver City, the historic Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. So there's a lot to do, and many people are off, certainly, for a four-day weekend, and many are off all week. So, hey, how about a road trip? Great time to go over to Southwest New Mexico. The website is southwestnewmexico.org, the complete listing of things to do and places to stay. Brian Seastone is the chief of police for the University of Arizona. Chief Seastone, good to see you, sir.
It's always great to be here with you.
Thank you. 38 years with the department and 4.5 years or so as chief. You have certainly, you must have started at the police department when you were right out of grade school.
I say five. We just ask people to go with me on that one.
Yeah. I know a lot of folks are concerned, Chief, about these three attacks that have happened near campus. This is not in your jurisdiction, but you're working certainly closely with the Tucson Police Department. Generally, what can you tell our listeners?
Well, there were two assaults on females earlier this month on the 3rd and the 5th. Both ladies were walking by themselves and were knocked down from behind. Both women were able to fight back and the suspects left. In the first case, there was only one individual. In the second case, there were two males that were seen at the scene there. Again, they're TPD cases, but because of the proximity, we sent out our timely warning to all of our faculty, staff, and students to let them know about these.
How does that work, the warning system? Can you explain that to our listeners?
Once we get information of a pattern or an ongoing threat to the institution, we put out an email warning to the campus, and it advises the location, the time, the details of the incident, and any safety tips to help people better prepare and protect themselves. So we assess those on case-by-case basis. In this case, it made perfect sense to get that out as quickly as possible. The third situation was a shooting that actually occurred at Campbell and Helen the other night, and that was a TPD case as well, and that appears that it was over an altercation between two individuals, so not related to any of the other two incidents.
I know you really want to get some of these safety tips, though, out to the public, and these are tips that both your department and TPD strongly believe in. Why don't you go over a couple of the sure. things that you'd like listeners to know?
Well, we always encourage people to walk together, especially at night. There's always safety in numbers, as they say. We have our LiveSafe app, which people can download, and that can allow somebody to virtually walk with you. They can track you from beginning to end, so that's a way. We also ask people to don't walk distracted. You know, we talk about distracted driving, but the same thing. You know, you're looking down at your phone.
Yeah, people have their face and their device. I've seen people, Chief, that walk across the street now looking at the device and totally oblivious to the traffic.
Exactly. I mean. And that's what we want, is people to look up and be aware of their surroundings. Most of all, if they ever feel unsafe or threatened in any way, immediately go somewhere safe and call 911 as quickly as possible.
How about our crime statistics? These are statistics that come out, I guess, pretty much all colleges and universities put these out kind of the end of the year, close to the end of the year. How did we do at the University of Arizona? This would be for 2017.
2017, we're always a year behind.
Uh-huh.
The numbers really aren't remarkable this year. They're pretty consistent with what's we've had over the last 3 years. The one area that we did see a rise in this year was burglary, and they went up by about 19, which doesn't seem like a whole bunch, but to us it is. We have no pattern for that or anything to say why these occurred more.
That wouldn't be a break into a car, would it? Or is this into an actual building?
It could be into car or a building, et cetera.
In one of the parking lots?
Yes.
All right.
Thefts remain pretty consistent. Like I said, our numbers just pretty much stayed the same. The one number that does jump out this year is we had to report a homicide on the campus, which actually occurred out on at the Tech Park at I-10 and Cole Broad, approximately there. Mm-hmm. That, again, was a TPD case. It was a road rage incident that occurred on the street the suspect or the victim was shot and died on our property.
Wow.
So we had to carry that statistic because of the location, et cetera.
And that would be highly unusual for you to have a homicide.
Yes, it's very unusual. We've had very few, and fortunately over the years.
What's this about fewer alcohol violations? People think of universities, they think of drinking.
Yeah. Our actual arrests numbers stayed just about the same, 155, and that's either a citation or somebody went to jail for it. We rarely take people to jail for just alcohol. There's other mitigating circumstances. But where we saw the decrease was in our disciplinary actions, which would be code of conduct violations, diversion programs, et cetera. And they went down almost 300 last year. And either we're doing a real good job of getting the information doing the right thing, or we just missed some things. But that number really just stood out in particular.
We have the big rivalry week coming up for the U of A and ASU. This will be a home game. This always presents some challenges for you and your department.
Yeah, this is the big rivalry.
It is. And, you know, speaking of alcohol, there's going to be alcohol.
There might be a little bit there this
little
year.
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit.
What are some of the things you'd like our listeners to know about this?
Well,
you can make it easy for everybody that's going to the game.
Thank you. One of the important things is we do have the clear bag policy on campus. So you need to have a clear bag to go into the stadium. And, you know, it's pretty much the gallon size type of thing. Alcohol can be purchased within the stadium now. Beer and wine. Please don't bring your own in. That's not a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Crowds should be a pretty good crowd, even though it's a holiday weekend. So please plan to come early. U of A fans are traditionally kind of late arrivers. So we would encourage you to come a little bit early for the game. It's going to be an afternoon game. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day for us. So don't forget sunscreen, hats, and to hydrate with water.
And before we go to Matt on the live line, he has a quick question. So, Chief, I'm going to have to ask you to slip on your headset there. But while you do that, I want to just ask you about those. We do have now alcohol for sale at the stadium. Has that gone fairly well this year?
It has. We have not seen.
Haven't had any big incidents or anything?
No, not at all. Huh. It's gone very well.
Okay. Matt, you are up to the plate, 790-2040. A question for Chief Seastone. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Chief. As you probably know, there was a recent documentary done regarding an alumnus from the University of Arizona who years back recounted a very traumatic issue that occurred to her and your department with regards to the reporting of a sexual assault. And she did the documentary mostly because of the recent, you know, Me Too movement and so forth, and because she also is in the film documentary business, and she it brought back those issues. Your department was, you know, keenly part of that documentary. Did you, by chance, did you get a chance to go to the loft and watch it, or have you seen it?
I have seen the video.
And I wouldn't attribute it to today's department because we are all, you know, dealing with this issue, trying to address it accordingly. But I'd love your thoughts on it as a learning experience. Thank you. Bye.
Sure. Thank you, Matt. The documentary, I thought, was done very, very well. And it also showed the practices and interview techniques that were done for many years, the way we did it. And it always didn't come across as well to the victims as it should. And the interview that was done between the victim and the officer that investigated that case, I think really showed the care and compassion and insight that the officer had afterwards. You know, I talked to him at great length when he and the victim reconnected a couple of years ago, and she wanted to do this film. And he's very taken back, and they have actually become very good friends. We've changed, as many law enforcement agencies have, in the way we interview our sexual assault and other victims as well.
All right, Chief C. Stone, thank you very much. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. One of our great sponsors is Mona's Danish Bakery. I was up there this morning at Mona's. They're the home of the Danish Kringle. I had an almond Kringle. Oh, my goodness. So delicious. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner Steve and his team of bakers, they are just taking those orders like mad right now for Thanksgiving. And all of your breads, they can do all the great rolls. They'll do the pies, the pastries like the Danish Kringle. That would be great for Thanksgiving morning. How about even a quiche? Call Steve, 579-1959, or visit monasdanishbaker.com. Or better yet, stop by now, have lunch, talk to Steve, order your Thanksgiving goods at Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Green Things. It is the home of all the poinsettias you could ever imagine. I think they may have like 25,000 poinsettias over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They grow them right there, so they're going to be real healthy for you and really brighten up your holiday table. Check out greenthingsaz.com. Dr. Mark Sykes is with us, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute for more than 40 years, has been a landmark Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. More information is at psi.edu.
Yes.
Dr. Sykes, how are you, sir?
I'm just doing great, Bill. Good to see you.
Good to see you. I was very curious about your thoughts about NASA wanting to put people on Mars within 25 years. You think we could do it sooner if we had the will and the objective?
Well, we might have nuclear fusion, too, you know, in that time.
Yeah.
We'll see. No, this is just kicking the can down the road, you know, because the only objective that NASA really has is to plant another flag out there. It's really nothing more than what I call stunted policy, to be a little unkind.
But there are so many issues: deadly radiation from the cosmos, potential vision loss, atrophying of the bones are just a few of the challenges.
These are all things I think that we could actually address. I mean, the question is what do we want to do when we go there? If the objective is to just do some performance art, that's one thing. If the other thing is, if the objective is to, like Elon Musk would like to do, establish a population, self-sustaining population of Mars, which I think is a much more exciting and appealing objective, well, you know, that's a whole different can of worms. And these are things, the issues that you mentioned aren't barriers. They're things to figure out and overcome on a larger scale.
Mars is, let's see, an average of about 140 million miles. So there are some travel issues involved, as well, to put it mildly.
Well, do you have enough miles for that? You know, on your frequent flyer. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's a long trip.
Sure.
How many months is that?
Well, it depends on how you get there.
Right.
If we use a nuclear electric propulsion system, we could probably do it in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Longer if you use other propulsion systems. But and this is all part of the why are we going there, and what do we need in order to set that up. If we're going there to stay there, to be to have a permanent presence there, to live and work there, well, then, you know, we start off by looking at home. We're looking for how do we reduce costs? Now, Musk has thought through part of the problem of having replicatable, you know, and reusable ships to go back and forth. But also, one thing he's not taking into consideration is fuel that we would get from, you know, potentially from near Earth objects that which are easier to get to in many cases than the surface of the moon or even moon orbit. And so, if we could not have to haul up all the fuel that we need from the surface of the Earth at $20,000 a pound, you know, then we start, you know, having the opportunity to expand there. Not only that, but PSI and Raytheon missile systems here in Tucson back in 2006 did a study which we created an architecture for a Moon-Mars a program in which we were looking at where the gas stations are every step of the way. So near-Earth population to get the fuel to get out there. Explore Phobos and Deimos as a possible source for fuel, primarily water, to land on Mars and then to come back to Earth from Mars. Fuel on Mars to just get up back up to, you know, Phobos and Deimos. So it was a fun project, but NASA didn't like it because, you know, it was not just straight moon then on to Mars. But it was a great. It's how we need to be thinking through these problems. Is not some go plant the flag and
kind
say
of one and done or
one
or
and
two
done
or two or
know,
three and
right,
done.
Which was really what Apollo was.
Yes, it was.
Unfortunately, I mean that's not what the population thought it was. Mm-hmm. We thought it was the dawn of the space age. You and I were going to be working out
did.
There. Yeah,
you have some art in your office that's kind of interesting that you were showing me that some stuff that you had hoped that. In 1969.
I published a poster back in 1989, 20 years later, that said, remember your dreams then of now. Well, most people today weren't alive then, so they didn't have any dreams of now. But back in 1969, if somebody asked me, where do you think we'll be in the year 2000? You know, I would have said probably on our way to the stars because we went from nothing to the surface of the moon in 8 years. What would we do in another 31?
Can you imagine if we had just kept up with all that energy from the Apollo program and there was that will to just keep going? We would be on Mars by now.
Oh, well, and beyond it. But it wasn't just the will. I mean, the population, I think, were game. But when we got there, then we kind of stopped. There wasn't any other. It turned out there was no vision beyond just planting the flag.
No.
And so that was unfortunate.
And all these medical issues probably were a little late to the game, too, with Mars. So this kind of research should have been carried on long ago. Some of these radiation.
Some of this has been contemplated.
The atrophy of the bones and all that.
Artificial gravity, you know, like rotating a spacecraft, having water around the outsides to stop the galactic radiation from coming in. There are approaches to doing this, but if it's a one-off, it's extremely expensive. You're talking mm-hmm. $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going there to stay, well, you build up the infrastructure to get there and to basically start living in not just Mars or the moon, but near-Earth space itself.
You had mentioned a couple of way stations. What were those, the two that you mentioned?
Oh, well, near-Earth asteroids for just getting fuel, okay. But then also Phobos and Deimos as possible fuel objects for so that we don't have to haul out the fuel to get back.
Where are those?
Those are the moons of Mars. They're in orbit around Mars.
Oh, gotcha. So that would have been... I mean, that makes it sound like it's not a big... It would have really been a lot less than just a straight shot. I mean, you could have really planned this thing out and make it...
Well, there's no guarantee. These are not solutions. These are questions.
Right.
But how exciting would it be to be going after the answering the tough questions and seeing if we can figure out the answers to make something like this work? But we're not even asking the questions right now.
All right, Dr. Mark Sykes of the Planetary Science Institute. I am a member, and I strongly urge all Tucsonans to join up because really it's an economic driver for Tucson, isn't it, Mark?
Absolutely.
Brings a lot of money into our community. You can find out more at psi.edu. Mark Sykes, have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, Bill.
And go home and start cooking right now for the big
day. You got that.
That's going to do it. On behalf of Dr. Mark Sykes and Bob Dio, my fine engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Back with you tomorrow.